birth of Jesus. That sometimes we forget that there had been 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There had been 400 years where the Lord and his word was scarce to the people. And what always amazes me, and I never get tired of, is the fact that he broke through the silence to bring hope to the world. The thing is, he still breaks through the silence now to bring us hope. Not just then, not over 2,000 years ago, but he breaks through our own silence now and he brings hope. Matthew 12:21 says, his name will be the hope of all the world. So Jesus is your hope. This morning, he says, I am your hope. I have you in my hand. Look to me. Look up to me, he says. He says, you belong to me. He says, when things seem to be uncertain, he is your certainty. This morning, no matter what it is that you're going through, even if you're in a good season of life, he is your hope. Because he is hope. He's the bringer of hope. He's the one who gives hope. He says that things may be difficult for you, but they're not difficult for him. He is powerful and mighty. He is your hope. And sometimes we feel hopeless. I read an article the other day that talked about everybody around us is grieving somebody. All of us have gone through the loss of someone, whether it's grandparents or relatives or friends. We've lost people. And sometimes that can make us feel a little sad and a little hopeless. And being sad, that's okay. Being hopeless, we have to remember to look up. Don't be so downcast, to look up and lift our heads. To know that he is the one who is hope. This hope is a present certainty of our future reality. It's an amazing thing. Our present certainty of future reality. And so because of him, the troubles that we face, the difficulties we go through, the circumstances that we're dealing with, good, bad, and ugly, he's with us in them. And he is our certainty. And because of that, those troubles and those things are momentary for what awaits us. And we get glimpses of heaven now as heaven comes down and invades our space. And things happen where there's miraculous things and there's healings and there's miraculous interventions. There's deliverance that occurs. But I also know, as I shared a couple weeks ago, as the Lord showed me my dad dancing before him, it was something that brought a tremendous joy to me. At the same time, there's sadness. But because of Jesus, because of him, we can look forward to the future. Our salvation is secure in him, that we are safe in him, in his arms, because he is our hope. At the same time, Galatians 4:4-5, it says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And so again, at the right time, God entered our timeline to bring redemption. Jesus was born at the right time, but even now, it is the right time. Every moment is the right time. This kairos moment, the perfect, delicate, crucial moment in time. It's where the God of all creation stepped into our timeline. Not only did that occur when Jesus came into our timeline and the fullness of time had come, but he breaks through the time now. He steps into our daily lives now. He is with us as we travel, as we visit, as we work, as we fill in the blank. He is with us. and he breaks through now. It continues every moment. He's rescued us from death and given us life, but he delivers us now from the things that we walk through and the things that we continue to struggle with. He delivers us now. Again, he is our hope. He brings tangible peace, as Brendan shared last week, that sometimes all the time we have to let go of our why. Because the peace that comes from God goes beyond our own understanding. And when we try and figure it out, we rob peace. And so we have to let go of our why. Why did this happen? Why does that happen? How come this doesn't happen this way? And when we let go of that, his tangible peace comes. It's beyond our own understanding and our own way of doing things. So what are you going through right now? He's not powerless to meet it. He is mighty. He's not just a baby born in an altar. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our risen King. Not just a baby in a manger. He's the creator of all things seen and unseen. He's supreme over all things, and that includes you. Supreme over all things seen and unseen. He set your feet on firm ground. If you feel hopeless, or you feel like things might be dark, or there's stuff going on that you just feel a little overwhelmed, he reaches in and he pulls you out right now. He reaches in through the muck and through the other things going on, and he lifts you up and he sets your feet on solid rock. He does it. His word says it. And if you can remember in times past when he has done that, he will do it again. He's able to rescue you. He is God with you, with us, Emmanuel. He's not distant. He doesn't remain far off. He is right with us right now. This is who we worship. This is who we were singing to and for this morning. This is who we surrender our lives and unzip our hearts to. Father, I thank you this morning. I pray that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, help us to understand what it is that you're continually speaking to us. Open our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 9:6. We know it. It is behind us in key words. Brendan shared on it last week. You've seen it around. It is the Christmas season. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Again, last week, Brendan mentioned briefly, he talked about how this idea of Wonderful Counselor, there's a miraculous intention behind it. That Jesus is our Wonderful Counselor. That he gives this idea of miraculous wise counsel to us. And the Holy Spirit was given to us to come alongside us to bring counsel, guidance, comfort. And so this morning, I actually want to talk about hearing the voice of God. He's our wonderful counselor. He brings us guidance, wisdom, counsel, and comfort. And the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Sometimes people say, well, God doesn't speak to me. As they come and they share, and over the years of my life, I don't think God speaks to me. I don't hear what he's saying. I'm not sure what he's doing. There's times when people have said, well, God only speaks to me certain ways, and I don't hear from him like you do, so I must not hear from him. That's not true. So I want to share a few things that I've tried to put into practice and try to understand. Again, I'm not perfect. Things I've experienced over the last 20 years. But I want to say, first of all, does God speak to all of us the same way? That's good. That's the right answer. No, he doesn't. That's correct. You'll see when we get there. We are unique individuals. And he's a creative God. And he speaks to us in the same way that the scriptures were written, and from the idea of being inspired, and you can see the personality of the writer in the scriptures. He speaks to us, and sometimes the way we hear things in the still small voice is different than the next person. So that's what I'm talking about. But 1 Samuel 3:9 in the NIV says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." In the Message, it says, "Speak, God, I'm your servant, ready to listen." So if we have that attitude, that mindset, that idea of the fact that God is always speaking, and we say, "Here I am, Lord, I'm ready to listen," it can change our perspective. He's always speaking. Sometimes we're not listening. Sometimes I'm not listening. But some of the things that might hinder that would be busyness, hurry, lack of solitude, maybe lack of silence. There's always noise around us. Sometimes sin hinders that. Sometimes we're just inattentive. We're oblivious. Sometimes we actually just close our ears and go, la, 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 la. Sometimes we don't recognize his voice. Those are sometimes the things that he's always speaking, but sometimes we're not listening. And so this morning, with him being our wonderful counselor, how does he speak to us? I'm going to share 9 ways. I'll try to pause. It's not an exhaustive list. There are other things in Scripture. But first off, if you have your outline, he speaks through his word. So when Gary said, when I asked, does he speak to us all the same way? Well, no. But he does in his word, in the sense of his word is his word. And you'll see where I'm going with that in a moment. He speaks through the word in general. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Message says, every part of Scripture is God-breathed, useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. So his word gives encouragement, warning, correction, training. It gives us principles for godly living, for right living. It's living and active and powerful. It penetrates the soul. It judges the heart and the thoughts and the attitudes that we have internally. So you want to hear from God, then read his word. That's the one way that he does speak to all of us the same, through his word, first and foremost. And he doesn't violate the principles in his word or what his word says when he speaks to us or we read something. So if someone comes to you and says, I'm supposed to harm that person, we should know right away that that is not the voice of the Lord. If someone comes to you and say, the Lord told me I'm supposed to take this from this person, we would know that that is not from the Lord. I'll save that for later. He doesn't violate his principles. At the same time, there are certain things and scripture verses that we know that if we're looking for something, we're dealing with a situation, we can go to the word and we're given direction and counsel. We're walking through something and we have a certain mindset, a certain way of going, and the word of the Lord comes from his word. Again, it doesn't violate his principles. At the same time, we'll get there when I talk about the still small voice. But there are certain things that the Lord will lead you to do that may not be in Scripture. Like if he tells you to because you feel in your heart that you're to get up and go down to No Frills and buy a certain amount of groceries and stand outside, I would advise that that's probably the Lord speaking to you, and you should do it because there's somebody been praying for groceries on the other end, and they're standing down there waiting for you to be obedient. Again, that doesn't violate the word. That doesn't violate the principles of the word. Secondly, again, this is not exhaustive. We have to understand that even in my own life, if there's certain things I'm working through, or I need peace, or there's other verses that come to mind, and then I have to search for them and look for them, because my memory seems to be different now. Something like John 14:26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, remind you of everything I have said to you. And then it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives, so do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I read something like that, and I am amazed. I read something like that, and I go, that's a command. Don't let my heart be troubled. So if my heart is troubled, it tells me not to let my heart be troubled. So it means I have to go, Lord, forgive me for allowing my heart to be troubled. You say you give me peace. I believe that you give me peace. I know it's real and tangible, and I take it. I receive it from you. You tell me not to be afraid, both in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. And so, Lord, I have to trust that you are with me, and you will give me courage because you tell me not to be afraid. Again, that's just a little glimpse of some of the stuff that goes through my mind in conversations. Secondly, he speaks through nature or creation. Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Us, those who are born again, we can look at God's handiwork and we can fall on our knees and worship him. We can look to the ant and see how it stores up food and how its strength is different than ours. And we can learn things. There are principles. Solomon did it. We can look at the ant and learn wisdom and strength. We can look into space. And every time I see pictures of galaxies, pictures of planets, I'm just overwhelmed at the presence of the Lord. Again, not everybody will be affected that way. That's okay. But it allows us to see God's greatness. At the same time, we can look at atoms and cells and things that are smaller than that I can't pronounce. And we can look at them and see God's hand of creation in all things, that he spoke all things into existence. And so he speaks through his creation, through nature. At the same time, this verse talks about man being without excuse. It's general revelation. Specific revelation is Jesus. Because without Jesus, you can't be in relationship to the Father. So he speaks through his word. He speaks through creation. He may speak through an audible voice. When John was baptized, there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my son whom I love. I am well pleased with him. Moses heard the voice of the Lord. There are others in Scripture who heard the voice of the Lord. It's not common, but I have had people I know personally share stories with me where they've heard the audible voice of the Lord, where they know that it was the Lord speaking and it did not violate his word or principles in the word, and they go, I heard the Lord. I had a friend once tell me his dad was searching for Jesus. And he went to different churches, and he happened to go to a Mormon building. And he heard the audible voice of the Lord say, I am not here. And he got up and left. And a week later, he became a Christian. He got saved, born again. Again, not common, but it happens. So the Lord speaks through his word, speaks through nature, creation, directs us always to him. He may speak audibly, but fourthly, he may speak in a still small voice. Again, I read this a few Sundays ago when I was talking about solitude, but 1 Kings 19:1-13 says, "The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore apart the mountains and shattered the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave." I often think that this is the way God speaks to most of us. That still, small voice. He can be dramatic. He can grab a hold of our attention in many different ways. But often I think it's that still, small voice of his. The Spirit comes and directs us and guides us. Our wonderful counselor who speaks in that still, small voice. And he comes. One author says it this way. He spoke the universe into existence, but he also whispers quiet messages into the hearts of mankind. The only way we can find that voice is by listening for God more, learning to recognize his still small voice. You've heard me share about Zachary before. For about a year and a half before we adopted Zachary, before we had Zachary come and be in our home, every time Natalie talked to me about children, I said, "Are you crazy? I'm tired. I don't want any more children." Sometimes she would ask in front of the girls, and I would be like, "No, we're not having any more children. I don't want any more children. I love the two I have. I don't want any more. I'm exhausted." There were other conversations that Natalie and I would have, but I was set. We can't afford it. There's having more children interferes with ministry and life. I just had this mindset, and I was going, "This is where I'm going. Nobody's getting in the way." And she would bring it up occasionally. And then we found out about Zachary. And my answer didn't change. Before he was born, 3 months before he was born, that's when I found out. My answer was, "No, we can't have any more children come." Another month comes by. There's a more in-depth conversation. There's more urgency, and somebody has to do something. And I said, "Yes, somebody does, but it's not us." Again, still didn't know anything. And then October comes around. My answer still is the same. I remember Natalie and my mom having a conversation at the kitchen table in Cranbrook, and I remember looking around the corner, because I heard it, I was in the other room, and I came out of the other room, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" I said, "No." Again, I was tired. Natalie had just finished school. Sometimes I felt like I was a single dad. Natalie had just finished like full-time school, and it was chaos, and I always felt tired. And so I was a little grumpy that my mom and Natalie were having a conversation. So we went to a church service that I didn't want to go to. My mom said, "We'll watch the children. You and Natalie go." And I said, I don't want to go. I don't know the band. I don't want to go." And she said, "Well, you really should go." So we went. When I talk about the still small voice, the way I'm going to share how the Lord spoke to me is how he's spoken to me often and almost always since the moment I became born again. It might be different for you, But we were at the church service listening to songs I don't know, didn't recognize, didn't like. I was off in a different place just thinking. And this lead singer got up and started to share about adopting from China. And I thought, well, that's cool. Thought about all the missions places I've been on, orphanages, and thought, well, someday maybe we'll adopt from Ukraine, but whatever. That's where I was thinking. And then he shared from James, pure and faultless religion is looking after the orphan and widow in their distress. And the Lord just went, bang, right here. It just opened me. I just began to, like, uncontrollably sob. And then I started in my head, not even thoughts. I just started in my head having a head conversation with the Lord. And the progression of my thoughts were going to be exactly how I would speak with Natalie. List off all the things of why we can't and why we're not going to do it. And as I was going and I said, actually, I didn't even say, it didn't even come out. The progression was going to be, Lord, what about me? I can't handle this. That's where I was going. And the Lord cut my thought off and said, what about you? This is not about you. This is about a child who has no father, and I am a father to the fatherless, and I put the lonely into family, and as I've adopted you, so you will do this. You will adopt him. This is about your son. Very clear. This still small voice that was not anything to do with what was going on worship-wise, not anything to do with where my thoughts were going because my mind was made up. But the Lord in his still small voice came in and said, you will do this. I have it in control. And the rest is a different story. I know you've heard that, some of that before. But that still small voice, if I had not gotten used to hearing the Lord speak to me in that still small voice, where the Spirit of God brought scripture in and rebuke in and challenged my own thinking, we wouldn't have a son. Don't let the stubbornness of your heart or your mind shut God out from doing what he wants to do or saying what he needs to say to you. Because I almost did it. So he speaks in the still small voice. Fifthly, he speaks by popping words or scriptures into our minds. Sometimes when I'm praying, the Lord will give me words. Like, sometimes they look like this. It's funny. But there'll be words like this. Random words, white words suspended on a black background, that's what I see. Things like peace, things like comfort. Sometimes they're sentences, sometimes I see them, sometimes they're scripture. So then I look through the word to find these words that the Lord has shown me. Other times he said to me, wake up! And I did a whole sermon series on that, and that happened 20 years ago. Again, not everybody hears the Lord that way. But he can. He can drop words like this into your mind. Words, scripture, words into your mind. So he speaks through his word. Speaks through creation. He can speak audibly. He can speak in that still small voice. He can drop words and scripture into your mind. He can also drop pictures and like a movie into your mind. Again, not everybody is like that. There are other things. Give me, he can plus something. So if you're praying and you're seeking the Lord and suddenly there's a picture of something that you know doesn't violate his word or cause you to sin, and there's a picture that comes, don't get upset. Ask the Lord, are you trying to show me something in this which you've dropped into my mind? But there, again, another story where had nothing to do with what was going on with worship. Had nothing to do with the sermon or where we were. I was just praying. I was laying on the back pew at a pastor's camp in Sylvan Lake, laying on my face, just praying. And the Lord showed me space. And fly by past the planets and then like Google Earth down to Creston. And zoomed into a house and I saw my parents standing there. They were young. And it's where the Lord told me, I bless the day of your birth. You are not a mistake. I bless your conception. And described to me this house. And I just knew that it was my grandparents' house, a place I'd never been to, never seen pictures of, and I explained it to my parents and said, this is what the Lord showed me. My parents began to weep because the Lord showed me something that I shouldn't have knowledge of, described what they look like, described the house it was in, the house that doesn't exist anymore, and reassured them that their union was blessed, even though my mom was my dad's third wife. And out of it, I wasn't a mistake, because there had been times in my life when I thought, maybe I shouldn't have been born. And out of nowhere, the Lord dropped that in. It was so real, as if I was flying along through space with him. Again, he doesn't speak like that to everybody, but he can. Some of those things that have occurred while I've been seeking the Lord, they're so clear as if they happened. They're clearer than as if they happened. So, again, if you're seeking the Lord, if it's a picture or something that causes you to sin, well, that's not from the Lord. If it's something that violates the principles in his word or violates the written word, then it's not the Lord. But when in doubt, seek him on it. Ask him about it. Get counsel from other people who aren't just going to tell you what you want to hear. God might be speaking to you. He can also speak through dreams. The Bible's full of references to dreams. Joseph had numerous dreams. Pharaoh dreamt of 7 fat cows being devoured by 7 skinny cows, meaning that famine was coming. We have in the New Testament Joseph being warned in a dream to grab Mary and Jesus and flee to Egypt. The Magi were warned not to share with Herod where the Messiah was being born. Pilate's wife had a dream telling Pilate not to have anything to do with Jesus. Paul had a night vision about the Macedonian man saying, come, help us. So if God used dreams then, he can still use dreams now. Just don't go dream crazy. Because sometimes dreams are just dreams. Sometimes they're from bad pizza before you went to bed. Sometimes they're just a catch-up of the day and the Lord is reminding you of the day. But sometimes he speaks to you in them. And so you ask him. He gives wisdom. He's our wonderful counselor. Seek others. Ask for counsel. Acts 2:17 says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. So again, he can speak through dreams. Number 8. He speaks through others. Others. Meaning he speaks through you and me and others. It can be one of the most important ways that God speaks to us. Because he's called us and created us to be in community and in fellowship with one another. And so not only is it maybe one of the more important ways, it can also be one of the most difficult ways to discern and hear that the Lord is speaking. If you want to think more about that, you'll have to listen to Natalie's message from November 3rd online, because I'm not going to reiterate it right now. But words of wisdom, knowledge, prophecy, encouragement, they come from others stepping out in faith and obeying the Lord to share something. And because we're human beings, we don't always get it right, we don't always do it right, and sometimes we don't say things in the right time. And so it can be challenging to discern hearing the voice of the Lord. But don't discredit it, because he calls us to be in community. And if you remember Carol's message on the power of the tongue, the idea of seeking the Lord intentionally to when we gather, we actually come with specific things to say to one another, to encourage one another. Again, I think that was the previous Sunday. That's also online at gatewayclc.com, I think. When I say he speaks through us, mainly mean born-again believers. At the same time, though, the Lord can speak through anyone. In Numbers, he spoke through a donkey. There are other places in Scripture where there was writing on the wall and other ways of communicating. But I also remember when Mrs. Obel shared about her grandchild asking how come they didn't talk about Jesus more at their family gatherings. So the Lord can speak through and grab our attention because he's creative. And finally, he speaks through the Spirit bearing witness. There have been many times as I've read the word that things have just jumped off the page at me. It's indicating that the Spirit is bearing witness that it's a message for me right then and there from the heart of God. Something I need to pay attention to. Spirit bears witness. At the same time, the Spirit can bear witness as you're driving downtown or driving somewhere listening to the radio. And the Spirit just, a word pops out and grabs your attention, and then the Lord just takes you somewhere. Pay attention to that. Or you're driving and you're talking with friends, and something that they say, the Spirit bears witness to it. And it speaks to you differently than just mere words. Or you could be driving around talking about Jesus, and suddenly there's a sign that says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Pay attention. He speaks through the Spirit bearing witness. Sorry. I got some water. Just one second. Sorry. So he speaks through his word. Speaks through creation. He can speak in an audible voice. He can speak in the still small voice. He can pop words into your head, your mind, or scriptures. Bring things to remembrance. The Spirit can bear witness, and at the same time, he can show you pictures or movies that are more real than what really happens. He speaks through others. God is constantly speaking. He grabs a mixture of ways, but those ways never violate his word or principles in his word. And there are other scriptures and experiences where God has spoken to you, and you know because you've gotten counsel and you've been able to look and go, this doesn't cause me to sin. It doesn't cause me to violate his word. There are things that I didn't mention today. But if you're ever making big decisions, or you feel like God's asked you to do something that is out of normal for you or out of normal for most people, it's a good idea to get godly counsel, to seek the Lord for wisdom, and to seek others who aren't just going to tell you what you want to hear. Again, I've shared about my friendship with Dwayne. I have other friends. I go to them when I have situations for prayer and for counsel because I know that they're not going to tell me what I want to hear all the time. Because I don't just want yes people, to be politically correct. Ask the Holy Spirit, the wonderful counselor, to give you wisdom. God is constantly speaking to us. He, again, is our wonderful counselor. And too often we can miss out when he's speaking because we only run to him when we're in crisis, or there's some big decision or something going on, instead of coming to him out of relationship. Because he's always desiring for us to listen to him. He's wanting to hear from us. And so in this season, this Christmas season, you need to choose. You need to choose to develop the kind of relationship that allows us to hear the Father. Yes. Allow us to hear the Father. The kind of relationship, again, that I can't choose for you. I can't choose it for you. You have to choose it. The kind of relationship that empowers you to hear the Father speak regularly. Because he uses those conversations to mold you and shape you and form you. He uses those conversations to direct you to do the things that he's called you to do. So I encourage you this season, don't forget that he is our wonderful counselor. But it's not just for Christmas. It's for all the time. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. What Linda shared, just talking about not worshiping creation. That's why I was talking about, for us who are born again, we see creation and we worship God. But the world in which we live looks at creation and worships creation or another god that isn't a god. And so we have to be careful to never go there, because it always points back to him. He speaks through it, but his word is the final authority, I'll say. So, where's the microphone?
I just wanted to share this. I've just felt it's the right time of the year. Plus, speaking about dreams, I only had one dream in my whole life. I was seeking God. And a Sunday school teacher shared the gospel and invited us to open our hearts and ask Jesus into our heart. But any time that ever happened, I always resisted, because I felt it was a personal thing just between me and God, and I just kept putting it off. But my heart was hungry. So this happened on Christmas Eve, and that's why I felt it's a good time to share. Christmas wasn't really a happy time for us. My parents had a restaurant. They had to work all the time. There was no Christmas celebrations, no gifts, no nothing. So it wasn't an exciting time for me. But I was fast asleep on Christmas Eve. I was about 10 or 11 years old, and I had a dream. I dreamed that I had died, but it wasn't a frightening dream. Everything was so dark, and when I woke up, I wasn't afraid or anything. I guess, you know, the Holy Spirit is gentle. God was prompting me to take that step of faith. So I recognized it was time to ask Jesus into my heart. So I knelt by my bed and asked Jesus to forgive my sins, come into my life. And there was no emotion, really. It was just how it happened. And then I just crawled back into bed and went back to sleep. So the next morning when I woke up, nothing had changed. We still had no Christmas celebration. We were just going to somebody's house to have a dinner. But I had changed. There was this quiet, quiet joy, knowing that at last I belonged to Jesus. And that joy has been with me all these over 60 years. So I thought this was a good time to share it. Because at Christmas Eve, I don't always remember happy things about Christmas, but I do remember the joy that God spoke to my heart that night.
Just remember, the Lord is always speaking. Don't let busyness or hurry cloud him out. Don't let sin or inattentiveness block your ears. And this morning as we go, we remember that he is our wonderful counselor, that he's always speaking to us, that he gives us guidance, that he gives us wisdom, and that he gives us counsel. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your grace, Lord. I pray that as you continue to help us remember that you are a wonderful counselor, Lord, that we would go to you, that we would choose to foster relationship with you, that we wouldn't just run to you in crisis or decision time, but out of relationship. Father, continue to work in our hearts, Lord. And again, I thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. To